Press TV headlines in the Egyptian capital. Protesters gather outside the Israeli embassy demanding an end to ties with Tel Aviv. In Bahrain, government forces raid the medical center in the town of Sitra. Witnesses say several people are arrested. Yemeni troops open fire on demonstrators in the capital Sana'a, killing over a dozen. 9 Americans, including 8 soldiers, are killed by an Afghan pilot in Kabul. And Palestinians celebrate the agreement between Fatah and Hamas to form a caretaker government.
It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, in Egypt, protesters have gathered in front of the Israeli embassy in the capital, Cairo, demanding an end to ties with Tel Aviv. Demonstrations started from the nearby Cairo University. The protesters want the Egyptian government to sever its ties with Tel Aviv. The protesters are also calling for an end to all gas exports to Israel. They have threatened that if the current government does not cut off ties with Israel, then they will make sure it does. This is the latest in a series of protests that saw the resignation of decades-long ruler Hosni Mubarak. In Yemen, protests against President Ali Abdullah Saleh's long rule have turned violent in the capital Sana'a and the cities of Taiz and Aden.
Well, over a dozen people have been killed and some 160 others injured in the unrest. Medics in Sana'a say they have received the bodies of 12 protesters. This while reports from Taiz say security forces fired tear gas on demonstrators demanding an end to Saleh's rule. In retaliation, the protesters torched the entrance panel of the ruling party. Clashes between security forces and armed demonstrators claimed the lives of one protester and 2 policemen in Aden. 2 security forces were also killed elsewhere. The brutal government crackdown comes as the opposition has called for civil disobedience to put pressure on Saleh to resign. Saleh has so far defied calls to step down.
Months into the people's uprising in Bahrain, Saudi-backed security forces are escalating their crackdown on protesters rallying against the regime's decades-long rule. The situation is getting worse despite calls by human rights organizations on Manama to stop its brutal behavior. Let's take a closer look.
Detention of over 1,000 people, court martials, demolition of mosques, and arbitrary dismissal of public employees. This time, regime forces raided a medical center in the east. This is Sitra's main medical center, surrounded by police vehicles. Reports say several people were arrested after security forces raided the hospital. Far from protecting people's lives, police brutality and pro-government thugs' violence have wreaked havoc on the streets.
Directly shot with what the police are using now is birdshot. They're shooting spraying birdshot, which is tiny, tiny little lumps of lead, which are very able to kill people, but in fact get embedded in the bodies of these demonstrators. So they're spraying them with birdshot, and then they're throwing tear gas into the houses of the people indiscriminately, whether there's old people there or young people. They throw tear gas at them. But the demonstrators at the moment are doing this kind of catch and run situation where they just run away as fast as they can once the word is out that the police are charging in.
But the pro-change movement in the tiny Persian Gulf monarchy fails to get weakened, despite Manama's ruthless repression. With Bahrain unable to stop the protests by itself, the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council intervened to make sure the protests won't succeed in Bahrain, as it could inspire demonstrations in their own countries. Many say it was the U.S. that gave the go-ahead to Saudi Arabia to enter Bahrain and crush the anti-regime protesters.
I believe strongly that the government of Bahrain has a window. That window was given to it by its strongest ally, the United States and UK. In that window, the Bahraini government should do its best to arrest as many as possible, to start a campaign or to wage a campaign of terror against the people of Bahrain, that include human rights activists, that include political opposition, include every single human being in the country that raised the voice against the monarchy.
This is not the first time the Bahraini government brutally and systematically crushes anti-regime protests. The preceding popular uprising of the country took place in the 1990s, when people joined forces to call for political reforms and a democratic government. The confined protesters, however, were dealt with ruthlessly at that time as well. Analysts say the new movement has a much greater chance of victory, despite Manama's ongoing crackdown.
Right now, what the Al Khalifa have done is nothing compared to the 90s. The 90s, they killed people, they arrested people, but the amount of atrocities is not even half or near the half of what is happening today. All these elements show us that the events in Bahrain these days are taking much front page, much front line than it took in the 90s.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution predicts the future of the region will be better than the status quo thanks to the uprisings in progress. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says despite the efforts of arrogant powers to isolate the Islamic Republic, Iran and its revolution is being respected by other nations more than any other time. Ayatollah Khamenei added that the U.S. administration is nowadays hated the most by regional nations. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing a huge crowd of workers in Tehran.
Libyan revolutionaries say they have pushed back forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi from the besieged city of Misrata. They say they've managed to secure the port city a day after it came under heavy rocket fire. The revolutionary firefighters say NATO's overnight airstrikes helped them push back Gaddafi's forces. A revolutionary leader says the airstrikes inflicted heavy casualties on pro-Gaddafi forces and enabled the revolutionaries to seize a large number of weapons. Meanwhile, the heads and envoys of 61 Libyan tribes have called on Gaddafi to step down. In a joint statement, they said the country is facing growing threats due to Gaddafi's actions. They also described his actions as harmful to the unity of the Libyan people while lending support to a free and united Libya.
At least 8 U.S. soldiers and a contractor have been killed after an Afghan army pilot opened fire on NATO troops at an airport in Kabul.
There was a meeting at the Afghan airport, in the military side of the airport, and the meeting was attended by the foreign troops and Afghan forces. The Afghan soldiers were belonging to the Afghan Air Force, and after a dispute, an Afghan Air Force pilot opened fire on the foreign troops.
Well, the Afghan pilot was shot dead at the scene. Several U.S. foreign soldiers and Afghan troops were also wounded. This has been the deadliest single incident for U.S. foreign forces in the war-torn country in months. At least 150 U.S. foreign soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan so far this year. Rival Palestinian factions Fatah and Hamas have agreed to form an interim unity government in the coming days.
Well, the compromise comes despite Israeli warnings about the outcome of such a deal.
Before the official announcement of the outcome of this agreement, Israel started to threaten President Abu Mazen for the agreement results. Today, we agreed on the appendix of full understanding on all points of discussions, which included in the articles of the Egyptian proposal. In addition, the idea of forming an interim independent government with specific tasks has been added to the appendix. As my brother Musa Mahmoud Abu Mazouk, spokesman of Hamas, said, we agreed on the date of the elections and we shared a discussion on the post-election status.
Al-Ahmad said the agreement brokered by Egypt also calls for presidential and legislative elections to be held within 8 months. He added that the Arab League will oversee the implementation of the accord. The deal made Gazans feel joyous. They celebrated the unity deal, saying they support any agreement that ends divisions among Palestinians.
We welcome any agreement that can get us closer to the end of division and open the road for the Palestinian unity. The Palestinian situation is not capable anymore of more division. The Palestinian people that went out on the 15th of March calling for unity was bored with the division. That is why we welcome the signing of this agreement.
Israel says it will prevent a pro-Palestinian aid flotilla from reaching the besieged Gaza Strip. Israel has appealed to Turkey and the UN to prevent the ships from sailing. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has ordered the military to make sure a blockade is enforced. An international coalition of 22 non-governmental groups is organizing the event. The Free Gaza Movement says European, American, Middle Eastern, South Asian, Canadian, and Latin American activists will join the Freedom Flotilla too. The 15 ships are expected to set sail to Gaza on the anniversary of Israel's deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla. 9 Turkish activists lost their lives when Israeli commandos attacked Mavi Marmara in May 2010.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. In the Egyptian capital, protesters gather outside the Israeli embassy demanding an end to ties with Tel Aviv. In Bahrain, government forces raid the medical center in the town of Sitra. Witnesses say several people are arrested. Yemeni troops open fire on demonstrators in the capital Sana'a, killing over a dozen. 9 Americans, including 8 soldiers, are killed by an Afghan pilot in Kabul. And Palestinians celebrate the agreement between Fatah and Hamas to form a caretaker government.